The following presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
We've got an action-packed hour coming up here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Good evening from the downtown Score Studios. Alongside 85 Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you with us. We'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later on at 312-644-6767. You can also tweet questions to us using the hashtag CB Network, and we'll answer as many questions as we can get to. Coming up on the show, we'll talk with now second-year offensive tackle Jordan Mills about his best buddy on the team, Kyle
Not
Long.
Yet. It's going to be second year.
Well, he's not a first-year guy anymore.
But he's still in the midst of the greatest time of his career at the beginning of an offseason where you haven't begun the itinerary life, the commitment, where they know exactly what time you're going to be somewhere every day. So he hasn't started his second season yet. Sorry.
Okay, that's fine. The guy right next to him, by the way, the right guard, Kyle Long.
Yes.
He's in Hawaii.
Yes, he is.
He's practicing for the Pro Bowl. And I looked this up. Do you realize that Kyle Long is the first Bears rookie to make the Pro Bowl playing an offensive position since Gale Sayers in 1965?
Jimbo Schaap probably should have made it. Jimbo Covert when he came in as a rookie. But it was hard to accomplish back then. Nowadays, there's a little different review process in getting to the Pro Bowl. But back in the day when there was a group of each offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball sitting in a room making their judgment call on who should be elected to the Pro Bowl.
Tom, also the commissioner, Roger Goodell, had a lot of stuff to say this week. Everything from extra points to personal fouls potentially being up for review via video during games. So we'll discuss all of that kind of stuff with the veteran, Patrick Manley, who's played more games in a Bears uniform than anyone in the history of the organization.
Yeah, got some great questions for Patrick, too. But I would like to see Roger Goodell sitting in a room with a bunch of ex-veterans not very far removed from the game with no recorded sound so you could speak honestly. So you didn't have to sit up there and answer questions to the camera, to something that's going to be exposed to the general public. I wish he sat in there and listened to the viewpoints of some ex-players and how they feel about European games, rule changes with under his regime in other aspects.
So plenty of stuff coming on here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, including Ask Tom. It's the newest segment to the program later on the show. Here's what we have at stake. The best caller, and we'll do it a little bit later on, the best caller during basically a 10-minute span gets to fire off questions to Tom Thayer, and the best caller, in our opinion, will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So a lot of pressure.
I think we got through 8 questions last week, and Bruce won with the concussion questions. I don't think I answered it quality enough, but again, it was a good question, and I think people leave the show thinking about a well-asked question.
So we'll have that a little bit later on the show. But for now, a week ago we sat here. We both thought that San Francisco would end up playing New England in the Super Bowl. Instead, we were both wrong, and it's Denver taking on Seattle. Your initial thoughts early on between these two teams?
You know, they were both great games. They're, you know, both impressive displays of football, and they have to start using going into depth because there's injuries. But I'm just so impressed with Peyton Manning. What he's been able to do with an organization in a couple years period after going through the next scenario that he did, but his professionalism, his accuracy, the way he can transcend players into the next phase of their career because of Peyton's greatness and his commitment to his football team. He is just an incredible display of commitment.
When you consider how much time you've spent throughout your entire football life watching video, and then you watch what this guy does, talking about Peyton Manning.
Right.
What impresses you?
The way he watches video, he puts people in place. I watch video to see a fundamental, a technique, a scheme, a thought of a coach in a certain down and distance, or how they're doing things fundamentally on the offensive side of the football. Peyton is he's the architect. He's devising a scheme where he's going to say, all right, when this strong safety starts to come up to the line of scrimmage during my cadence, I'm going to run this route, get him 1 yard out of position, make the completion at this hash mark, and then he's going to go for a first down. That's the creativeness of Peyton Manning that goes unappreciated, is he is the architect.
And you've also seen a lot of the Seahawks. You know what they do defensively. When Peyton's watching video of the Seahawks for the next 2 weeks, trying to find any kind of tell from that defense, any kind of opening, will he find one?
Yes. I think the snap count by Peyton Manning is going to be a weapon because it's going to be a neutral site. If you go into Seattle, Peyton Manning is going to have a very difficult time in being in control at the line of scrimmage. But because Peyton Manning's and his ability to change, we talked about the Omaha deal, but his ability to vary the snap count and make it a non-rhythmic hard count, the consistency is not going to be there by the front seven of Seattle. They're not going to be so destructive because you're always going to have a paranoia of Peyton getting you out of position.
Can you explain that to someone driving around right now? When you say a non-rhythmic snap count, give us an idea of what that means. When you're listening to it, so you can figure it out as a fan.
Right.
Oh, that's how he's
feeling. Well, that's the thing about it. A snap count, they want to be non-rhythmic. They don't want to have the consistency of blue 14, said hut, or said hut. They want to bet blue 14, said hut, as they want to give you the voice flexion where the defensive lineman is thinking that's the command for the ball. So when you break the huddle, a quarterback may say, all right, you guys, you've got to really hold the count because I'm going to go on three because I know so-and-so is susceptible to jumping on a two hard count. So he's going to go blue 14, said hut. And then he's going to go hut on the third one. So, again, it is a real challenge, especially when the Bears are playing at home and the defense can loudly hear Jay Cutler's commands.
Did you take some quarterback snaps at ND? I mean, come on now. That's too good, what you just did right there.
No, but you know what? I played with some of the best, you know, of the guys that can manipulate the line of scrimmage with a hard count. Steve DeBerg, who I finished up with in Miami, every game plan, he would specifically look at the defensive lineman who was susceptible to a hard count, and in the most important second and short, third and short of the game, he's going, look, I'm going to get him, so you guys got to work with me. And that's what a hard count quarterback can do with as a weapon, what Peyton can do to Seattle.
That's fascinating stuff, and we've been so focused, and not just us, but I think everyone who follows football has been so focused on the Peyton Manning battle against the Seattle defense. Might it be the other way around that it decides the Super Bowl? For example, when you look at the Seahawks offense and what they can do against the Denver defense.
Yeah, you know, it's how destructive can Russell Wilson be with his legs? If he goes out there and just fatigues the defense of Detroit, you give the advantage right there to the young quarterback in Seattle.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be joined by former rookie Jordan Mills,
right,
talking about the Bears.
So what do they call him in the locker room? Jay Mills, or what will they refer to him as?
You know, we'll ask him.
Okay.
Coming up next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can hit the beach with five of your favorite Chicago Bears players, including Earl Bennett, this March in Cabo. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for more information. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you along here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You can tweet questions to us using the hashtag CBNetwork. A little bit later on, we'll play Ask Tom, where you can chime on in at 312-644-6767. And at that point, we will go rapid fire with you asking Tom questions about anything in regards to football, and the best caller at the end of the segment will get a gift certificate to Sports Authority.
Are you relentless about your tweeting as you are during the NFL season during this part of the year?
No, I take it easy during this part of the year because you know, football season is totally different. See, there you go. All of a sudden, I'm getting all these messages now because of the tweets. I think that it's important for people to get the information during the season. In the off season, you don't have information every single day to give out.
Yeah. And you're exposed to a lot of fun information that people want to see and want to get before the game, as anticipation, you know, the stadium, the locker room, you know, different people, celebrity types in the sideline. Because if there's a celebrity type in the sideline, your Roman with him, near him, interviewing him or something.
Yeah, the last game that the Bears played against the Packers, got an opportunity to see Ashton Kutcher again. We've become best buddies. And Mila Kunis.
You got to tell him to dress more appropriate for the sideline, because
cold,
he's out there.
Though.
He's got like skinny jeans, leather shoes, and some members only jacket. Well, I mean, you know, I know who he's a big time player out there, but you got to dress the part.
Well, Mila Kunis likes him, and that's I think that's good enough. That means
right.
that you know he's not
he's
walking around with a Super
right.
Bowl championship, but he's done something right. Okay, so here's what I'm getting a lot of this offseason, and I'm sure you are too. People keep asking me, well, what kind of a defense are the Bears going to run in 2014?
They could run both. Because if you look at some team, the Bears played the Cleveland Browns a little bit later in the season, and they kind of play of a standard 3-4 defense. And that's what you're going to get on first down, because that's the personnel package they want to put on the field. And then they kind of morph from there. They can go to a 4-down defensive lineman that have some big bodies on the inside, and they're almost impossible to run against. And then they can put in some smaller type bodies when they have to rush the passers trying to create matchups. So I hope that the Bears morph into the personnel to be able to do that.
And is that what Phil Emery means? You always hear him say, we want players defensively who are going to transcend scheme.
You have to be able to transcend scheme, because the personnel is not always the same from every opponent. Sometimes you may have to have a guy that spends 60% of the time in a stance, and then sometimes you need a guy that's 60% of the time in a two-point stance, you know, coming off the line of scrimmage or rushing against a tight end, or, you know, you have a good matchup against an offensive tackle. So you got to be able to transcend schemes.
And the other thing that I look at is, especially after watching the playoffs and focusing now on the NFC in particular, because that's where the Bears have to get out of if you want to get to the Super Bowl and win those championships that the Bears keep talking about. You look at Seattle, outstanding defense. You look at San Francisco, outstanding defense. The next team up, Carolina, outstanding defense.
Detroit.
How do the Bears get to that point in one offseason?
The Phil Emery and his entire staff making sure that they're out there digesting every bit of information you can about every defensive player that can come in here and help this team, either through free agency or the draft. And then you go out and you have to make sure you have an understanding design scheme of where you want to go to. And then you look at personnel, how they fit accordingly to the specific type of job you're going to ask that person to do that you're getting to draft according to his size and stature.
You know, let's talk to Jordan Mills about this, the
yes.
Bears right tackle, who joins us now here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Hey, Jordan, Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer with you. Jordan, give us the unique perspective that you have, because you face both 3-4 defenses and 4-3 defenses this past season. Which is tougher for you as a lineman?
I think, you know, both types of defenses give you the, you know, tougher looks, you know, but it comes hand in hand. You know, 4-3 defenses don't do different things from 3-4 defenses. You know, they have to stand up the ends, but, you know, defense coordinators these days, you know, so smart, and, you know, have different complex of blitzes and packages. You know, sometimes they might be a 4-3 defense and try to do, you know, kind of somewhat of a 3-4 stand up a guy. But, you know, both, from my perspective, both of them are tough. You know, you got to prepare as much for one and the other. You know, it's just 3-4. You know, you just, instead of your DNs being, you know, with their hand in the ground, they are standing up. So, you know, they give you their challenges with both defenses, but I think they come with the, you know, similar challenges.
Hey, Jordan, from after your college season now into your first professional season, would you rather play against a guy that has his hand in the ground, this three-point stance in front of you where you have a little bit of eye contact, or would you like earning the leverage opportunity immediately if there's a linebacker standing up over you? What do you prefer on a passing situation and your protection?
You know, for me, you know, just going into the game, for me, you know, I accept any challenge. It really doesn't matter to me. But, you know, sometimes I'd rather lean towards the people, you know, DNs that have their hand in the ground. But it really doesn't matter to me. They can be standing up or with their hand in the ground. I still got to protect Jay.
Jordan Mills is with us, the Bears right tackle here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Let's talk about the guy that's right next to you on the line, and he's been there all season long. You guys are as tight as can be. What does it mean to watch Kyle Long ascend the way he has, going all the way to Hawaii this week?
You know, it's a great feeling just to see, you know, him being, you know, in the Pro Bowl with, you know, with our other, you know, Bears, with Tim Jennings and Elshon Brandon and Matt, and just to see, you know, we came in together and the way he, you know, progressed throughout the season and from draft time, as you know, he's a great player, he's an intelligent player, and I can't wait to see him, you know, during the week when they have practices, hopefully on NFL Network, and then I can't wait to the game on Sunday and watch him, you know, ball out. So, you know, from my perspective, is, you know, it's a great feeling to watch somebody that I play against and I room with, you know, on every game, and, you know, sit next to in every meeting and just have the chance, you know, go to Hawaii and have fun and show why he was in the Pro Bowl. So, you know, I wish I could be there with him, but right now, you know, I'm rehabbing a foot right now, so I'm proud of him, and it's nothing but happy thoughts over there.
Hey, Jordan, I want to go back to the beginning when you had the opportunity to take over your starting role at the beginning of the training camp. How long was it before you and Kyle could really have a fun conversation? Because the amount of responsibility, the work, the information you're trying to learn and make sure that you can put in use on the practice field. Was it a while before you and Kyle kind of looked at each other eye to eye and go, man, we're two rookies. We have a lot in front of us. But when was the first time you had to have a fun conversation about it?
You know, we always had that conversation before that even happened. You know, we always approached everything positive, and we always knew we had a lot in front of us. And, you know, when that opportunity came in front of us, we just acted the same way we have been, you know, laughed about it and tried to keep as much, you know, calmness about the situation as we could and didn't get over our head. So, you know, we were always like that. And just to have him beside me going through the same thing, being a rookie also, and I know he feels the same way, was, a relief off my shoulders, and I know a relief off of his. So, you know, it was always the same for us. We always, you know, kept a smile on each other's faces and, you know, try to, you know, wanted to know something we told them, and whenever any of us, each other, needed help with something, we were there for each other. So, and also having the veterans around to help us out. So it was a very tremendous help.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was
You know, I was saying, Jordan, the first week of practice, I was standing behind one-on-ones and 9-on-7. I was just listening to Aaron coach. I wasn't really paying attention. And you kind of hear a serious tone in his voice. And does that carry to the meeting room? Like, if you have a play that you messed up, does that tone of voice, does it carry over to you guys inside that meeting room when it's just you guys?
Yeah, sometimes it does, you know, but on the field, a coach, you know, wants, perfection. He knows he's not going to get perfection, but that tone does carry on, you know, if he sees mistakes. But he knows we're going to get it. He doesn't have to tell us twice. And, you know, that's what makes Coach Cromer a great coach, you know. He only has to prevail his voice once for us to, you know, get whatever he's trying to get across understood. And it goes in throughout the meeting room, but the most like, he's mostly like one of the guys, one of the old linemen in the room. He jokes, he clowns, and you know, he's always laughing, making jokes. So, but when it's something serious and he needs to get something across, that tone does come out.
Before we say goodbye, Jordan, you did reference the foot injury. You broke your foot in the last game against the Packers. Everything going to be okay by the time it's time to get on the field and start practicing for next season?
Yeah, everything's going to be okay, you know. It was, you know, everything went well with the doctors and the surgery, and then I'm going to be fine. And according to our training staff, I'm on schedule to be back, you know, in enough time for OTAs and stuff like that. So just taking it one step at a time and taking this rehab process as it goes. And hopefully I'm going to be ready for OTAs and getting ready to, you know, start a new year, new season, and hopefully get to the road to the Super Bowl.
Good stuff, Jordan. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan.
Jordan Mills, the Bears' right tackle, spending some time with us.
Says he's getting ready to start his second season when they get back to OTAs.
All right, you're right. You know, far be it from me to
Hey, you know, when we were doing the broadcast of that last game, I was so disappointed when Jordan had to leave the game because we kind of all grew a great affinity for the offensive line because of the way they've improved and what they went through.
We got to take a timeout when we come back. A lot of different rules changes being discussed by the commissioner, including the extra point. Who knows about extra points more than Patrick Manley? He'll join us next right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Do you want to have the opportunity to watch the NFL's brightest rising stars leave it all on the field as they compete in the biggest interview of their lives, the 2014 NFL Scouting Combine? Now is your opportunity by entering the Chicago Bears and Bridgestone Road to the Combine sweepstakes at ChicagoBears.com. And this is a big week. It starts really this week for a lot of these young guys at the Senior Bowl.
Been watching it.
You know, what stands out when you watch that? What are you looking for?
I'm looking at all defensive players. That's what I'm looking for. I see guys that I see more. They really move well athletically. You see them go through the drills very fluidly and that other types of things. And then you combine them with more people. In talent, I think, degresses sometimes when a lot of guys, the more bodies you add. Some guys look, like you mentioned, the combine. Some guys look unbelievable when you just put them in shorts. But when you start putting a lot of different thoughts and factors in their head, it changes.
Ask Tom is coming up at 312-644-6767. Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. What's interesting is that Commissioner Goodell had a lot of stuff to say this week on NFL Network, including the possibility, because he feels the extra point is nearly automatic, nearly 100% of the time. I think there were only five misses this entire year. And because of it, he is considering eliminating the extra point. A touchdown would be worth 7 points. Then you'd have an opportunity to go like they do for a 2-point conversion, but that would be worth 1 point. You could get 8 if you put it in. But if you don't score after, then those 7 points that you got on a touchdown would be reduced to 6.
I just hear a bunch of blah, 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 because I don't know why Roger Goodell needs to change it. You know, he could answer his own question. Have Roger Goodell go there, bend over, grab a football, and accurately put it in a holder's hands 7 yards away, about 18 inches off the ground. If he can do that perfectly, one in the first 5 throws, then hey, we'll consider it. But he couldn't do it. There is no guarantee to anything that Roger Goodell is trying to end on a football field.
Let's talk to Patrick Manley.
Why did you put him on? Gosh dang, I've been ranting. The guy who's done it more times than anybody in the world is on the phone.
Pat, you heard what the commissioner said this week. You just heard what Tom had to say. And for those that don't know, Patrick is the longtime long snapper of the Bears. What do you make of what the commissioner had to say about the extra point?
I think I said it on Twitter. I guess the long snappers, holders, and kickers, we've just become too good of our job.
You know, Patrick,
and they want to eliminate us if we do too good of a job.
The one thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, because the only point I'm trying to make is the thousands of snaps that you've thrown back, there is never one has ever been guaranteed that was going to make it. That's
no,
the chance
you're right,
that it
Tom,
starts.
Not. I sweat a field goal snap just as much as I sweat a. I'm sorry, I sweat a PAT snap just as much as I sweat a 53-yarder that Robbie's going to make. You know, it's our job, and, you know, we take pride in being perfectionists, and it is. I mean, we've become pretty darn efficient at it, and it's not just the snapper, obviously. It's mostly the kicker and the holder, and the protection is a huge part. But, you know, I'm torn with it. I think Dan McNeil sent me a tweet yesterday, and I answered him that I'm a traditionalist. I like the way football is and the way it's been, and rule changes need to happen, but I'm not sure about this one, and I'm just torn. But there's things that, you know, that I've thought about, the why I'm torn is that, Tom, the field goal rush now can't rush like they used to. It's all one-on-one rushing where they can't do the double push, they can't line up over the snapper. So the protection part of the field goal is so much easier than it used to be.
Yeah, but you know, sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, Patrick.
No, it's just I'm just torn. Is all I'm saying. You know, I'm a guy who likes to play football, so I like to be on the field, and I would miss those reps.
You know what else we'd miss? We'd miss the highlight of Tony Romo dropping the snap. And again, I'm not piling on Tony Romo because no, I like him. But if you want to think, and you know what, John Gruden had a great analogy today. He said, then every time in Tiger Woods' career he has a 3-foot putt, just pick it up. And Patrick, yeah, you're a golfer also. And if you miss one out of 100, you're still missing.
Exactly. No, and you don't know when that crucial miss will come. And they have, and we have missed. Like last year, we got a PAT blocked against the Steelers. Fortunately, we went on and won by a big number. But there's games that go around that say you get that first PAT blocked in the game, and it's you put 6 on the board instead of 7. It kind of changes the dynamic of how the game is going about its scoring. If you got to go for 2 and things like that, so the game does change. But it comes down to just being too good at your job. 99.whatever% is pretty good, but you still have to execute it.
It is, but I think the anticipation of the kick in the Baltimore game, and even though it was a short distance, it's still the snap, the hold, the kick. Everything has to be perfect in order for it to work. I know that the Baltimore kick was not an extra point. There wasn't great distances, but every time the conditions are in climate, the first thing they talk about is how's it going to be between the snapper and the holder on kick exchange.
Yeah, that's true, and that's actually one thing when – say we get a dome team that comes into Chicago in December, and the long snapper and the kicker and the punter will always walk over to us and be like, how do you guys play in this? I'm like, well, we just do. It's just kind of what we're used to. Like when Dallas came in, their long snapper asked me, he's like, are you kidding me? You've done this for how many years in this weather? I'm like, that's just part of it. And he's like, what do you do? I'm like, you just get it done. And the thing is, it helps us is we practice in it every day.
Hey,
those are the little things you worry about. You hope they, you don't hope, but you hope they mess up that, when they come into Chicago, because welcome to the Chicago weather, and then you don't take it for granted.
I played in the Ice Bowl in Dallas against the Miami Dolphins when they had the whole kicking exchange where Leon Lett slid into it. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the unpredictable conditions and the shortest plays in each game. How did you know that Marshawn Lynch was going to fumble last week after they refused to give Navarro Bowman the turnover with the game last week? So
right.
There are instances in time that are unpredictable, whether you're the commissioner or not.
Sure, and you would think a handoff would be easier than a PAT.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's just part of the game. And I don't think it takes away from the game that we have to kick it. You know what I mean? It's just part of it. And, fans might turn and talk to their friends while it's going on. But if there is a mistake, that's going to be on SportsCenter. They're going to watch, the next 2 or 3 or the rest of the game. But it is part of the game. And I don't want to see it gone just because I think that's just part of the game. It always has been.
Our final few moments here with Patrick Manley here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. As a captain on the Bears the last couple of seasons, when you watch Richard Sherman at the end of that game just go off on Crabtree, what were your thoughts?
You know what? I just started laughing. I was like, the guy lost it. I think he just lost it. And I think what he's done since has been great. He's come out and apologized to his teammates. I think that's the biggest thing as a teammate. I'd be like, what are you doing, bud? I think he just truly lost it. And the way he's come back and responded and talked about it and been open about it, I think speaks volumes for kind of the guy he is.
That's never happened to me in my entire time. And I've actually interviewed a whole bunch of guys after you went to the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 41 after you won the NFC Championship game against the Saints. And keep in mind, in that game, remember Reggie Bush taunted the Bears on that 88-yard touchdown,
right,
pointing at Brian Urlacher? No one cared about that. Now, maybe it's because the Bears won 39-14, so it wasn't much of a game after
right.
the fourth quarter.
Right.
But I've never seen anything like that.
No, I think he plays at such a high level and high level emotionally that I think he just channels it. And I just think he lost it. I just truly, we all lose it every now and then. It might be, I don't know. Everybody's going to lose it. I think that's what happened, and unfortunately, the whole world saw it.
Yeah, no question. All right, before we let you go, you got Peyton Manning in the Broncos offense. You've got the Seahawks in that terrific defense.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be holding up the Vince Lombardi trophy when it's all said and done?
You know what? I guess if I'm pulling for somebody, I'm pulling for Peyton Manning because we're draft classmates, the class of 98.
Wow.
So I'm kind of pulling for him. But, as a fan, Tom, you're probably the same way as Zach. You just want to see a good game. I just want to be entertained. I want to turn on the TV and be entertained for 3 hours. That's all I care about. But in the end, if Peyton wins another one to add to that legacy, would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'd be happy for Peyton. Mm-hmm. Sentimentally, I'm going for Peyton.
Since I don't have to be out there, and you've experienced it, Pat, so have you, Tom, I want to see the conditions. I want a lot of snow. I want to see – let's have a vintage – northeastern type of game. If you're going to play it outdoors in New York, let's have a
I hope it's one and done then. I hope they get their fill of these in-climate outdoor north stadiums, because it's just – it's failure for the fans, and that's what it is.
I agree with that, too, and as a player, like, I enjoyed going to Miami. I enjoyed the sunshine coming from Chicago and going down there and the end of January and February and feeling 80 degrees. That's what I want to feel.
Hey, Pat, thank you so much.
Thank you, Pat.
No problem. You guys have a great night.
You too. Patrick Manley spending a few moments with us talking about a variety of different NFL issues. We got to take time out. When we come back, Tom, it's time to play Ask Tom. Line them up. 312-644-6767. The best phone call in regards to football questions to Tom Thayer. You will get an opportunity to win a Sports Authority gift certificate on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Register today at Priceless.com/Chicago for MasterCard's Priceless Chicago, a collection of amazing experiences available exclusively to MasterCard cardholders. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And guess what? It's time for Ask Tom. Real simple. The best caller this segment, 312-644-6767, will receive a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So it's rapid fire. I go to you. You guys ask Tom questions, and we go from there. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Let's begin the festivities at 312-644-6767. John in Oswego, you're on with Tom Thayer on the Ask Tom segment here on Bears All Access.
Hi, Big John.
Oh, just wanted to know, like, where you see the evolution of the O-lineman going? Do you see it being more athletic, or do you think we'll ever get back to, like, the bigger, kind of more static O-lineman?
That's a good question, John. I think with the athleticism that it takes to be able to run the Mark Trestman system, I think you need to be more athletic. You need to be able to get out of your stance. You need to be able to pull from whatever position you play. And that's one of the unique qualities of this offensive line, is their ability to run wide with Jermon Bushrod and Jordan Mills, trap inside with Matt Slauson and Kyle Long, and even pull with Roberto Garza. That's a good question, John.
D'Angelo in Naperville, you're on. Ask Tom on Bears All Access.
Tom, how are you?
Good, D'Angelo. How you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
Hey, listen, after watching an NFC championship game, do you think the Bears will be able to draft players with that nastiness appeal to go out there and make those big hits, to make the defense feared once again? Because we haven't had that in so long, and I think that's what's missing, that we don't have the fear player, the player that people are actually watching out for. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
That's a great point, because I think you had it in Lance Briggs. You had the ability to do it when you had Urlacher. You had the opportunity to do it when you had Julius Peppers at his peak. But if you do have that one guy, that safety in the background, that's the big hitter that has every receiver scared, or even if you get Lance back on track and you start to tap the potential of a Jonathan Bostic, I think Bostic has the ability to hit as explosively and as hard as anybody out there, but it's going to take his intelligence to grow and understand opponents' offenses. But I do think you do need that explosive player to be very disruptive against all these offenses in the division.
Especially up front, man.
Yeah,
if you can rush the passer without having a blitz, changes the whole game.
But if you get a safety that scares receivers in our division, good. If you get a linebacker that blows up the middle, as good. If you get someone who penetrates and blows up the backfield before they get anything started, as well.
As Tom continues, we go to Jeff in LaGrange. You're on Bears All Access.
Jeff?
A little bit shy. It happens to all of us. We go to the next caller because it's Ask Tom. We don't have time to waste. Mike, you're on Ask Tom with Tom Thayer.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. All right, so here's my question. Who do you think feels worse, Sherman for running his mouth last weekend or Ditka for not getting Peyton a touchdown in Super Bowl 20?
Wow, that's two opposite ends of the spectrum. One guy, Sherman, attracting a lot of negative attention to himself, and Ditka just kind of probably losing the sight of the fact that Walter didn't score when we were just trying to get points and New England was doing everything to take out Walter Payton. I know Ditka still feels bad about it because it's something we're talking about 20, 30 years after the fact. Sherman, they'll forget about by the end of the Super Bowl.
Sean in Geneva, you're on Bears All Access. Ask Tom.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Tom. My question is, I see the NFL using the stretch run a lot, and it doesn't seem to work, whereas Marshawn Lynch broke his touchdown run this past weekend in between the tackles. As a lineman, Is it harder to block the stretch run or an in-between the tackles run?
That's a great question. I think the point of success, the immediacy of success you see Marshawn Lynch is going straight through point of attack, get to the second level, challenge the inability to the back-end guys to tackle, then you're off to the races. One thing about that stretch run, it takes a long time to hold on to your blocks. You become susceptible to some holding penalties, but then you have to have a guy like Matt Forte that can read, set up, and anticipate the way his blocks are going to unfold. I'm a beat it up in the middle Marshawn Lynch type guy.
The next participant on Ask Tom, we go to New Lenox. Kevin, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Tom, best wave you ever caught?
Oh, best wave I ever caught. it's at a surf spot called Mushrooms out in Maui. It was the biggest one I ever caught. I had a guy, I thought I was going to hit him in front of me, was lucky enough to stand up and stay with it. And I think I went in because I knew that day I would not be able to catch a bigger or better wave. So I rode it all the way inside and went to my truck and got out of the ocean happy and alive.
That might be the most comprehensive answer you've given today, Tom. Let's go.
Hey, man, that wave is stuck in my head forever.
Uptown Jim, our final contestant on Ask Tom.
Hey,
here on Bears All Access. Hey, Jim.
How you doing, guys? My question is, going back to the extra point issue, how would you feel, Tom, if I'm like you, I'd like to keep the kicking game, but what if it was and a matter of expanding options so that you move the kick back to the 25, and then you also offered the option to, like, kick from the 50-yard line or something like that, and you got an extra 2 points that way. So now you have three options, and it makes it more creative and interesting. You're not getting rid of the kicking game. It just makes it a little more difficult, not quite as automatic as the 99% conversion rate. So I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I like your idea of making it more difficult. Yeah, if you want to back it up and challenge all the kicker's real ability to make the extra point so easily, that fine and dandy, because there is still a choreographed process to make sure the protection's solid enough that you get the snap and the hold and the kick off. So, yeah, you still have the details to perfection of making the play work. However, if you challenge the kicker, that's always good to me. I like challenging kickers and punters.
I think, Jim, strong contestant here for that Sports Authority gift certificate, but I'm going to narrow it down to the two offensive line question. You had John from Oswego, who talked about the evolution of the offensive line, and then you had Sean from Geneva, who pointed out, you know, the things that you can only answer by being out there and doing what you did in your career, running between the tackles or the stretch run.
Right. But one thing that interests me about John is the evolution of, I don't think the offensive linemen are going to change. It's Aaron Cromer's going to believe that he can make the player do what he needs him. He always said, I'm not going to try to make a guy do what he's incapable of doing. I'm going to allow a guy to really achieve on his strengths.
I think we're leaning toward John.
You make the decision.
John from Oswego is the winner. He gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority for the best question this last segment on Ask Tom. Another time out here on the show. When we come back, I have a lot of questions for you in regards to...
Hey, we have some great questions here. I appreciate these people calling
and
in.
We'll continue. Maybe we should extend this to a two-segment thing. Who knows? Right. We'll talk about it. But I'll tell you what. When we come back next, what I want to know is the conditions. If they're as bad as some people think in New York, how's that going to affect the Super Bowl?
Who does it favor?
Yeah, that's next with Tom Thayer here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What makes the world's leading airline flyer friendly? Flying to the most places, for one. Upgrading aircraft, cabins, clubs, and service. Creating a mobile app that does it all, from booking to boarding. Providing more room in Economy Plus, and flatbed seats, too. More than 80,000 professionals focused on every detail. That's flyer friendly. United. Fly the friendly skies.
Paying someone back or sending money shouldn't have you running around looking for your checkbook or the right amount of cash.
Where is it?
With Chase QuickPay, you can send money as quickly as sending an email. So you can pay the neighborhood boy for chip in for dinner.
Pizza delivery.
Even pay for spring break.
Thanks, Dad. You're the best.
Chase QuickPay lets you pay almost anyone with an email from your smartphone. It's easy, secure, and it's free. So you can pay the babysitter without ever saying,
honey, have you seen my wallet?
Get Chase QuickPay today so you can send money to almost anyone, anywhere with your smartphone. Chase QuickPay. So you can.
Chase QuickPay Transfer is available within 1 to 5 business days. Visit chase.com to enroll and for eligible mobile devices, limitations, and details. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
When we talk about the Chicago-style stuffed pizza, only one name stands out as the best. Giordano's Pizza. Everyone agrees that for 40 years, the name Giordano's is synonymous with the best pizza anywhere. Generations of families have made Giordano's the number one stuffed pizza that Chicagoans crave. And there is more than the best pizza at Giordano's. Fresh salads, soups, homemade pasta dishes, sandwiches, and more. With 40 locations in Chicagoland, there is a Giordano's near you. For your party needs, dine-in, carry-out, or delivery, visit Giordano's.com.
So substantial, it shows up on x-rays. When he makes you breakfast in bed, there's an omelet bar and a waffle station. Just thinking about him alleviates road rage. His sweet talk is also savory and creamy. He understands modern art, all of it. His grass is actually greener, and it grows better, too. He can steal thunder's thunder. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, New York, New York.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Happy to have you aboard here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. There's so many different directions I can go in. I want to talk about the weather at the Super Bowl, but I know, and we were talking about this during the break, how much you hate this new Pro Bowl format that they've got going in Hawaii.
Right. And I mean, there's been other opinions that express the same way. I just disappointed in the lack of seriousness and the lack of approach of respect that we used to give the Pro Bowl, because it was a real honor for the guys that struggled all year to try to achieve a status where they'd get recognized inside the players' locker room that they're the best at their position. And It was something that you waited to see if you were going to get voted and all that. So it is disappointing to me, because I've seen the greatness in the game. And now I think it's a silly attempt to put professional football players out there just to put people in a stadium.
I don't think fans care anymore about the Pro Bowl.
It is what it is.
Well, because it's basically two-hand touch now. And the other thing is that the best players don't perform in the Pro Bowl. They might get voted in, but all of a sudden you see them disappear, and then you have, you know, a lot of first and second alternates playing and not the best of the best in the NFL.
They've allowed it to sink to that. The going to Hawaii used to be a magical place at the end of the season for the greatest of the players. And the fans that used to surround the Hilton Hawaiian Village where the players used to stay were so attracted to the greatness that was there. And that's what the NFL has allowed us to do, is diminish into a circus that is not respected. I don't think the players are voted respectfully like they used to be, that they are going through the process now.
All right, let's switch to the bowl everyone cares about, and that's the Super Bowl. Now, it could snow. It's scheduled, at least they're forecasting snow next Friday, 2 days before the game. And if it becomes an issue, everyone keeps talking about the snow. And you know this, and I know this from being out on the field during all these bad weather games. The snow doesn't bother the players as much, neither does the rain. What bothers guys is if you have wind, because that directly affects play calling.
Right. So what do you need your two greatest assets to be on a windy day? You need your offensive line and your running back to be one-on-one, to be connected mentally and physically like no other time in their life. So right now, do you like the offensive line of Seattle with Marshawn Lynch and the confusing legs of Russell Wilson, or the stationary legs of Peyton Manning, the greatest mind in the game, with a damaged Sean Marino? That is where you're going to have to really investigate where they're at on game day.
I think Seattle has the opportunity to travel well. I think they're weatherproof. But if you have a good defense on the other side, you still can force Russell Wilson to make plays.
Yeah, exactly. But again, when your next alternative is a guy like Marshawn Lynch, and you look at his commitment to winning, the way he throws defensive backs aside, the way he blows up a linebacker who's going to try to hit him with a shoulder tackle, ain't happening.
Man, more of this coming up next with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sadman. You know, I love this offseason edition of Bears All Access.
Me too.
Because there's so many different things that we can talk about. And we also can take your question via Twitter here and hashtag CB Network so I can see them. We've got this one. Has Tom seen the movie Nebraska, which features the voices of both Tom and Jeff Joniak?
I have not seen it. I'm waiting for, you know, I'm a DVD type of guy, so I'm waiting for it to come out and see it then, or, you know, when it comes to the cable.
Do you get royalties? Did you know that you were going to be in the movie?
I did not know. It was told to me several times before. I've yet to see it.
We have to talk to some people, because I think, you know, when you put the product that you put out over the radio on game day, you should be paid extra for it.
All right. It's a movie about an older guy who thinks he wins money through a sweepstakes that he gets in an envelope at home. But I kind of think I have some of the experience, because now my mom thinks I'm a movie star. And she doesn't realize that I have nothing to do with the movie. And my dad just turned 84. My mom's 82 or whatever. But she wants to see the movie Nebraska. And my mom hasn't gone to a movie theater probably in 50 years.
Wow.
And with that being said, now she wants, and she's going to be so disappointed when all it is my voice of the movie and not really me.
Well, your best work is over the radio, isn't it? I mean,
yes,
this is what you
course.
Do. So technically, she'll be hearing you.
Yes.
At your
but
best.
She still, I think she believes that, you know, Jeff and I are on our way to the Academy Awards.
Real quick, how close were you to appearing in the Super Bowl shuffle?
Not at all. Not even. Thinking about it. We, you know, when Willie Gault was trying to drum up business when we were flying home from Miami after we lose that game, and says, look, we got to be at the Park West at like 6:30 in the morning. Are you kidding? I was just trying to fall asleep with full body soreness at that time.
Because everyone else on that team, I mean, think about it. You had a bunch of your prominent teammates
yes.
were in that video. Your head coach to this day continues to do, he's a
some
superstar.
Of the guys in the Super Bowl shuffle is their biggest recognition in their career, because I still see them being asked about it today. Somewhere I was with Jim Morrissey, and someone made fun of him because of his playing antics in the Super Bowl shuffle more than some of the great things he did on the field.
Man, but the most important thing is that ring. And for the Broncos and the Seahawks, if you don't think it matters, look at how it changed your life.
Well, you know, next week when we're doing the show, we're going to have a lot more information to talk about, because someone is going to said something stupid, something intelligent, something that we're going to be talking about next week.
For Tom, I'm Zach, executive producer Greg Miller, and the guys on the other side, Herb Lawrence and Joe Ostrowski. Thank you so much for listening. Bears All Access returns next week on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.